What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
Shopping like a CEO? My, look at those savings.
Right now at Staples, save like a big cheese, a big shot, a boss. Because this week, when you buy one expanding file folder, you get a second one 40% off.
Those are boss-size savings.
So start the new year right by stocking up, saving big, and getting organized.
At Staples, where there's a whole lot in store.
Ends 2/2/19. In-store only. Valid on select assorted SKUs.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly, I give thanks unto the Lord just for being here on the broadcast today. We're thankful for all that God is doing and what God is just who He is. I'm just thankful to be a child of God. That's what I'm really thankful for that. I'm thankful that He saved me at a young age, and I'm able to still be around praying and just being excited about God and doing what God has told me to do. I'm just so excited about all that. I'm telling you, I wouldn't take nothing from my journey. I've been in ups, I've been in down, but I'm telling you, God has been consistent in my life. He's been everything to me. He's been my keeper, my provider. He's been everything to me. And so I'm just so thankful that, you know, that the Lord has blessed me to still be around and still praying and still walking with Him. And I'm just so thankful for the journey that I've had all these years and just excited about going forward, what's coming up, what's going to be doing, what He's doing, and what He's going to keep doing. So, you know, we've been talking about prayer, and so we're going to keep talking about prayer. Today we're going to talk about the power of prayer and, you know, what all that entails, because I tell you, you know, prayer is so essential to our Christian walk, and if we're not praying and keeping in communication with God, our relationship is not what it should be. You cannot be in a relationship without communication. That's the one thing we all know, because even in relationships with our, whether it's with our parents, whether it's with our spouses, whether it's with, you know, whatever it is at work, whatever it is, with children, you have to be communicating, because that's just what is needed for things to work out. So, you know, we do a broadcast and we do Facebook Live at the same time, so we're on our broadcast as well. And so we thank everyone that will be logging in, everyone that will be calling in, those that will listen to the broadcast later, those that are online listening to it. We thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for each and every one of you on Facebook Live that will be logging in and listening. So we're so thankful for that, thankful for the opportunity just to minister the word of God. This is what He told me to do, so I'm going to keep doing it regardless, and so I'm just excited about that. But we're going to open up with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You today. We thank You for Your word, God. We thank You for for being God. We thank You for being sovereign. We thank You for being omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Lord, we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are our provider. You are our shepherd that we shall not want. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? We thank You, Lord, that You are very present, helping the time of trouble. Lord, we ask You that the word will fall on good ground, and those that will hear it will be run with it, oh God, that they will not only be hearers of Your word, but doers of Your word also. Lord, that they will be willing and obedient. They will have faith and work with it. Lord, we thank You today. We thank You, Lord, for keeping us all week. We thank You, Lord, for caring for us. We thank You, Lord, for bringing us through danger, seen and unseen. We thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and for Your grace and Your loving kindness. We thank You that we serve an awesome God, and we thank You that You allow us and give us the privilege to come to You in prayer. Lord, we thank You. And so, Lord, we ask You to bless us, and we shall be blessed. Keep us, and we shall be kept. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you so much. So we talked about on last week prayer. We were talking about prayer, and, you know, well, we talked about over the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to recap it just a little bit. So we started out with prayer, what prayer is. So, of course, prayer is communicating with God, and when we first coming into the knowledge of God, our prayers sometimes are a little centered or a little urgent. You know, Lord, help me do this. Lord, help me get out of this. Help me to do this. Help me to do this. And we kind of, you know, our prayers are kind of geared that way. And so sometimes, and then as we continue to grow, then the Lord begins to bless us, and then we begin to have more fervent prayer and more seasoned prayer and things like that in our life as we begin our prayer life. And I told you that, you know, if you got things going on, begin to meditate on the word of God and begin to pray. Those things will help you to grow and help you to get through the situations that you're going through at this current time. We cannot One thing we cannot do is take things on our own. We have to have God in our plan in order to be able to be successful, in order to be able to come through some of the situations that we're going through. Sometimes trial and tribulation can become very, difficult. And so, but because we have God, we can get through it a little bit better. And then we talked about also, you know, what is prayer? We said prayer is just, you know, us having a communication with God. It's more than us just asking him for things, but we are actually engaging in communication with God. And, you know, and so we begin. We might not have no formality to it or anything like that. We might just be communicating, talking with the Lord. And so we talked about that in the very beginning of what is prayer. And we talked about that in the divine. We define prayer as talking with God, and prayer being our communication aligned with God. And so that's what we talked about. And then we talked about prayer develops our relationship with God. And just like we communicate in any way, if we don't communicate, it hurts our relationship. And so that's just with normal things. If we don't communicate with people, we hurt our relationship. And so we have to be communicating with one another. Same thing, we got to be communicating with God. How are we going to know what God is wanting us to do if we're not communicating with him? If we're not, you know, if we're not talking to him, allowing him to talk back to us. Communication is talking and listening, listening and talking. And so those are some of the things we know. Those are just basics, and we know that. And so we know that we got to have a communication prayer line with God if we're going to really be effective in our relationship with him. And, of course, prayer is seeking him first and touching him and getting to know him and you know him better and having an intimate relationship with God. This is how we develop that, because we acknowledge him as the source of power. We acknowledge him as our source of power. And then we and who we depend upon, because we can't depend upon ourselves and other people, because people can fail us, and that's the thing. But when we put our faith and our hope and our trust in God, God never fails us. So we always have to remember that we want to stay in our communication and know that who our source of our power is. We don't have the power. The power belongs to God. Now, we may pray. God gives us that privilege that we can pray. But then what he does, we have a privilege. We're privileged to be able to pray, understand me, because of Christ. What Christ did, he opened up a way for us to be able to come boldly to Christ, boldly to God. Now, when we say boldly, we don't mean arrogant. We don't mean we come in, we get coming, I say, Lord, you need to do it. Now, that's not what we mean. We can boldly come, but we have to come in a spirit of humility, because we're talking about God here. We're talking about a holy God. We're not coming to talk to one of our partners. You know, one of our girlfriends, one of our, you know, our homeboys. We not come to our buddies or, you know, our pal. We not come to talk to them, but we are coming to talk to a holy God. And so we got to remember that we have to keep the respect line open there, because we're talking to a holy God. So we got to be careful how we approach God. But he has given us the authority to come to him boldly, but we still got to come in humility. That's what we have to remember when we're talking about prayer and we're talking about coming to God. And so those are some of the things. And then we talked about last week, some key elements of prayer. We talked about adoration, you know, praising and worshiping God, for who he is. We talked about confession, asking God to cleanse us from sin. And I told you, like we said, you know, if you feel like you don't have no sin, you ain't got to ask for forgiveness. I'm telling you now, that's not what it is. Everybody needs forgiveness, because we all still got stuff. Now, we might not be sinning like we used to sin, or we might not be doing things like we used to do things, but we still got things we're working on, so we got to keep that in the forefront of our mind. So that's why we should always be praying in our prayer time, Lord, forgive me of sins of omission and sins of commission. That ought to cover them. And then sometimes you know specifically what your situation is. You might want to take that to him specifically, and so that he can answer you specifically and help you through the situation. And then we got thanksgiving. We got believing and acknowledging God's grace and, you know, thanking him for what he's done. We got to be grateful and we got to be thankful. And then we can come to God with our supplication, our specific prayer request. So that was just something that kind of gave us a pattern for prayer. And then, of course, we went through the Lord's Prayer last week, and we began to talk about Jesus and how Jesus kind of set a pattern for prayer. And if we think about it, it's kind of just like what I just said a while ago, because he said Heavenly Father. And, of course, that made it personal with that. You know, it made it personal because just us calling him Father gives it us a more personal relationship with him. And then adoration was the hallowed be thy name. So we were honoring God's name. And then our divine intervention was thy kingdom come. And then our submission was thy will be done. And then our provision was give us this day our daily bread. And our forgiveness was forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. So not only do we need to forgive, well, we want God to forgive us, but we got to forgive some people. And we talked about that briefly last week about what forgiveness does for us. Forgiveness is for us and not so much for the other person, but it is for us because the other person still has to go to God themselves and ask for forgiveness of the sin that they committed. But when we forgive them, we are freeing ourselves for God to begin a healing process within us. And so that's why we got to be open to forgiveness as well. And like I said last week, I know people have done some horrific things and done some things that are really unspeakable. But the thing about it is if we really want to be delivered and we want to be set free, we have to forgive our debtors as well. And then, of course, the next thing was guidance and deliverance. And this is a pattern of prayer that Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer. And it says, lead us not into temptation. And then, of course, praise was for thy kingdom come and thy will be done. For thy kingdom come and the power and the glory. And so that was a word of praise. So we had adoration, we had divine intervention, we had provision, we had forgiveness, we had guidance and deliverance, and then we had praise. And so that's kind of how our pattern for prayer could be. Because I know in the beginning, you know, we don't really know much about prayer, and so we're just really communicating with God. But as we begin to grow in Christ, as we begin to read the Word of God, because that's the first key, is that we have to begin to study the Word of God. If you really want to pray effectively, pray the Word of God. Because one thing he said about his Word, it will not return unto him void. And so he will answer. And then we talked about our privilege to pray. I wanted to go back to that, our privilege to pray. Because we got to understand it's our privilege, and that prayer is always our privilege, but nevertheless, we are partnering with God and aligning our spirit with his, and together we will see his perfect will be done. But the thing about it is God is waiting to hear from you, and then God is waiting to hear from you. And I said we have a privilege to pray. It's our privilege to pray. But nevertheless, the power of prayer belongs to God. Because it is his power. We're going to pray, but the power to answer of the answer prayer comes from God. So he is the one with the power. And then we got to understand this. Without God, we can't do it. And then without us, God won't do it. So if you're not going to pray, then you might not get no prayer answer. You see what I'm saying? And so you've got to really be able to pray and take everything to God in prayer. He said we need to bring everything to him in prayer. Stop trying to get out there and do it on your own. Abraham and Sarah, okay, they had a promise, but they were waiting on the promise, and because the promise didn't come when they thought it should have come, they began to take matters into their own hands. We cannot take matters into our own hands. We got to wait on God. He has promised us something, and so if we believe what he's saying, then we'll wait on him. So God is waiting to hear from you. If you haven't talked to God in a while, God is waiting to hear from you. Communicate with God if you want a relationship with him. And this is our series, Building a Better Relationship with God through, in this particular topic, through prayer. So that's what we're doing. We're building a better relationship with God through prayer. So today we're going to talk about the power of prayer and what does that really mean to us. Now, I'm telling you, prayer is something very powerful because if we really think about it, I saw this somewhere, and I'm going to make this just some information, that there are approximately 650 recorded prayers in the Bible. 450 of those recorded prayers were answered prayers. So then that leaves about 200 and some of them that was not answered. So, you know, so sometimes we don't get an answer. And so we got to understand that. And sometimes that's because we're not praying the will of God. Now, God ain't going to answer your prayer about you wanting to get back at that person that hurt you. He's not going to answer that prayer. He's not going to do it. And so I don't need you praying that because he's not going to do that. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some people are, praise the Lord for those on the line, on the broadcast. He said that vengeance is mine, and I shall repay, saith the Lord. So you praying about getting somebody back ain't going to get you nowhere with that because God ain't going to answer that prayer. And so you might as well just let that go because what God wants from us is a forgiving heart. And then God will do what he's going to do. They got to give an account for the things that they've done, so we don't have to be concerned about that. But there were approximately 650 recorded prayers in the Bible, And then there was 450 recorded answered prayer. And we're going to go through some of that on this journey with prayer. And so then, like I said, that leaves us about 200 of those 650 are not answered prayer. And I know I got to start taking my little allergy medicine for these horses. I guess I'm trying to avoid taking it, but I guess I might need to. But anyway, we'll see. I'm going to drink me some water and see if that helps. Because I don't know why I'm getting hoarse and hoarse sometimes. But anyway, and so then we pray. We have to trust in God's power and not in our own power. That trust in God's power really blessed me because I was going through some things, and I told myself, I kept hearing that ringing in my ear. Trust in God's power, not in your own power, Denise, but trust in God's power. And I believe that when we pray and we really sincerely ask God, that God will answer us. I gave the example of me praying about my job that I've been on and how I was doing something that really wasn't my experience level. It was something I hadn't done before. And so, but then they wanted me to do a certain level in that particular job. And how I finally, I went in that rest bathroom and began to pray, and God gave me a plan. And I began to be able to meet the numbers that they were asking for me to meet. And so this past Monday, they took me back off of that particular job and put me back on another assignment that is more of my skill set. But anyway, I was excited to be able to do that and to have that experience because that taught me some things. Even over the summer, that stuff taught me some things. And when I prayed to God, he began to answer those prayers. And so when we pray, we have to trust in God's power. I want us to do that. So we're talking about the power of prayer today. It's the prayer, so it's up to us to pray, but it's God's power that moves the things that we are praying for or brings those things about. Now, Psalms 107 and 28 through 30, and this is our particular passage of scripture that we're going through today. It says, "And then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven." So what this is saying to me is that when they cried unto the Lord, when they prayed, that's what that translates to me, when they prayed unto the Lord heard them and then delivered them out of their trouble. The Bible says that this, well, I think it's 34, the 34th Psalm, where it says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble." So the Lord can deliver you, but you got to pray. You got to cry unto the Lord. He's not going to move if you're not praying. If you're not asking for nothing, he's not going to move. And so then we come to this particular scripture because the Bible tells us that he said in Matthew 7:7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you." So if you're not asking, how do you want God to answer the prayer? If you're not asking, if you're not seeking, if you're not knocking, then how do you want the things to begin to be open unto you? And how do you want prayer answered? You have to be in prayer. It has to be that you are praying to God, because if you want to get an answer, you got to pray. That's what he's saying. He won't move if you don't pray. That's why Jesus said, he told him to speak to the mountain and it shall be removed. He didn't tell him to sit there and look at the mountain and think it was going somewhere. You got to open up your mouth and begin to pray. And so then you begin to, I know some of us think about the prayer. We're sitting there thinking, and we're sitting there thinking it. Open your mouth up and pray. Open your mouth up and begin to petition God for what it is you need, because he is a need meter. He told us over in Philippians, he said, "I will supply your every need according to your riches, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And so then in Matthew 21 and 22, it says, "And whatever you ask in prayer," here's our key right here. Here go the power right here. "You will receive if you have faith." Now, so this is what I came to understand through in my study, that you got to believe and you got to have faith if you want some answers to come about. If you are praying, okay, so you can't pray, "Lord, bless me to be healed," and then you go saying this, "Well, I got so-and-so, I got so-and-so, I got so-and-so." One thing I learned years ago, when the doctor say something, I never say, "I got nothing." I say, "They said." This is what they said. This ain't what I'm saying, because I'm saying by his stripes I'm healed. But they be saying, this is what they have said, and it's okay if they said that might be the fact. But the truth is that by his stripes I am healed. We have got to make sure when we speak over our life that we are speaking the word of God over our life and not what somebody is saying about us. This is the thing. Even though for those that, you know, people are saying negative stuff to you, might be saying you're not pretty or might be saying you're not this and might be saying you're not that, remember what the word of God says about you. He said you were fearfully and wonderfully made. So now if this is how God created you, this is how he made you, girl, you a man, woman of God, man of God, you are all right. Everything's working on your, working in your favor because God fearfully and wonderfully made. We don't care about what people got to say about. People are confused. I tell people all the time, sometimes people are confused because if that's the case, I told somebody the other day, I said, well, if you know, Hollywood is one that sets the standard for beauty, right? That's what it seems like anyway. Not that they are the cheap one, but that's what it seems like. But I thought to myself, well, if they setting the standard, why do they keep getting married and divorced? They can't even keep a man or keep a woman because they always getting divorced. I said, so you know what? We got to understand that they're not setting anything. They just confused too. One day it's this way. One day it's the next way. So whose report are we going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. That's what's one I'm going to believe. Is anybody on the line got anything they want to say? Now I'm going to keep on going. So anyway, so we're talking about prayer and what it takes for us to get a prayer to heaven. We have to ask. We cannot sit around just thinking about what we want God to do. We got to ask God for what we want, and then we got to believe that we're going to receive. If you're going to pray, you can't worry if you're going to pray. So if you're going to get, if you're going to ask God, then you got to believe that he can do it. That is what he is looking for. He is looking for faith in your prayer. He's looking for faith in your prayer, and he's looking that you believe in him. It takes belief and it takes faith for you to get a prayer answered. If you want to know what the power of prayer is, have faith and believe in him, and that's where the power is going to come. And so then the next thing is, let's read this scripture, Mark 11 and 24. It says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That's what they're saying. That's what the Bible says. I'm not saying this is what the Bible says about it. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, one thing we found, I was listening to Bishop this morning, awesome message as usual. But anyway, one thing he said, he was talking about Joshua, and he was talking about when they were over at Ai, when they were fighting Ai, and they had just finished fighting Jericho. And God told him in Jericho to utterly destroy everything, don't take nothing, leave it all there. And so he broke that down for us today, and he said the reason why they couldn't take any of the spoil at Jericho because it was first fruits. And so the Lord told him not to take anything. But, of course, Achan, he had to take something, so he was disobedient. Sometimes we got to get sin out of the camp, even if that means something we're doing. We got to get that straightened out so that we can get our prayers answered, so that we can win the battles that are going on in our life. So we got to, that's what I'm saying. Every day you got to pray and confess your sins because if it was a look over a side, if you was just looking, come on, Denise Montgomery. Come on. If you were just looking the wrong way at somebody, you need to repent for that. So we got to make sure if somebody cut you off in the car, you know, they drive you crazy in Texas. And so somebody might cut you off. You can't don't be going letting them have it. You see all of that. So we gotta keep ourselves in a place of a repentant heart. As Denise said, I have learned that it is not hard to ask. We have to learn to wait patiently for the manifestation, and that is part of the problem. That's what happened to Abraham. He wasn't waiting patiently for what God had promised, or Sarah wasn't. And so she told him, go on and have the baby through my handmaid. And so then here come Ishmael. Ishmael was not the promise. Isaac was the promised seed. And so because of that, God didn't take the promise from Ishmael because Ishmael was still blessed as well. But the thing about it is we've had a lot of conflict because of that situation that they did. Ishmael and Isaac was in conflict. And so the people, well, I'm talking about the people and the people, their offspring. So we got those types of things going on as a result of not being patient enough to wait on answered prayer. Just because you don't get the answer like this, it ain't a snap of the finger answer, that don't mean the answer ain't coming. If I think about the book of Esther and how God wasn't really mentioned in that book at all. If you read through that whole that whole book, you don't hear, you don't see them saying, well, God did this and God did that. But God was all in the situation. So that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we don't see God moving, but that don't mean he's not moving. That don't mean he's not answering your prayer. Sometimes we just got to wait patiently on it, and we got to keep believing that what we have prayed for, if it is within the will of God, that you will receive it. That's what you got to believe. If you're going through a sickness today and you're saying, I've been praying that the Lord would heal me. I've been praying that the Lord would heal me. Sometimes, that's why we got to check things out all the time. I was telling somebody, they were I was on a prayer call, and they were, she said, some of y'all got to repent for putting y'all mouth on people. You want God to do this, but you need to repent. I started repenting. I said, Lord, because I said, you know, we run our mouth sometimes. I said, I just started repenting. I said, Lord, anybody that I've ever put my mouth on, I ask you to forgive me. And I was sincere about it. And at that day, that same day, because I had been, I told you, I've been going through financially because I wasn't making enough money. I was bringing home $600 every 2 weeks. $600 every 2 weeks. Now, and people would say, well, the Lord bless you. I don't know what they thought I was going to be doing with that. I had to figure out every paycheck what I could pay because I couldn't pay everything. You can't keep a roof over your head and have a car and have just the basics of life with $600 every 2 weeks. That's $1,220 a month. That's what I was making for a while. And I kept praying, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord is a keeper, and he has kept me. And I told somebody, I remember driving that car. I was driving that car, and couldn't make the payment because I had to pay lights. I had to do this. I had to pay for all this other stuff. And then I had a roof over my head. I had to pay for stuff. And the Lord blessed me, and he kept me through that situation. And then this time, I was repenting for everything. I said, Lord, just forgive me for if I ever put my mouth on anybody. Whatever it was, I was just putting pen. That day, I was sitting on my phone, applying for jobs on the phone. One of them zip recruiters, I was doing all that. Indeed, I was doing all that. I was just applying. If it said easy apply, I was just applying. I mean, I was really applying. Some of it I wasn't even reading. I just look at it a little bit, and I just apply, because my resume's out there. Apply. That day, somebody called me. And I had a phone interview. I had a phone interview with one of the recruiters, and she told me, she said, well, could you be available about 2, I think it was about noon. She said, could you be available about 3, and I'll have my manager to call you. And so I said, yeah, I'll be available. And so the manager called me. I interviewed with him. They told me to send the information because they want me to do a background check and a credit check. And I told him, I was honest with him. I said, now, I'm going to tell you about that credit. I said, it's a hot mess right now. I said, because for 4 years, I've been, it's not good. And I told him, I said, but it's because, you know, I haven't been really working. It hasn't been consistently. And so he said, well, okay. He said, well, thanks for telling me. We'll take that into consideration. The next day, because I wasn't worried about that background check. I don't worry about that because I'm clear. But that next day, he sent me a text. You know, they do things newly now. You know, it ain't old school like, you know, going in for any. I never went in and saw him face-to-face at all. And the next day, he sent me a text and said, did you get your offer letter? And I was like, oh, my God. So I had to go online. I had to go on my email and do all that paperwork. They do everything online now so much. On the onboarding is done online. And so I went out there and done that. That job pays me 3 times plus $50. I always had that $50 in there, what I was making every 2 weeks. And I said, Lord, have mercy today. And so I said, I'm saying all that to say, God can answer your prayer. Because I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want substitute teeth no more. I said, because they're disrespectful. I said, and the people don't respect you. And I'm just tired of being disrespected. I told the Lord that. I was thankful for substitute teaching. I was thankful for it because I didn't have any. I couldn't even get unemployment. So I was thankful for the income that it provided me. And so I was grateful for it. And I went in there and I did my best. And I enjoyed working with them kids. I'm telling you, it was a blessing for me. That was such a blessing, getting to know them kids and stuff like that and having to figure out their names. All of that was something. And, of course, I was fussing about it because I said, Lord, I needed more money. I said, I can't survive like this. I said, Lord, I need more money. And I got to do it. And so and I needed the Lord to help me because I said, Lord, I don't ever want to be in this position again. that I can't do. I said, whatever I'm doing wrong, Lord, help me. Show me. And the Lord told me to tell him, keep on, but that's just one of my prayers. And then I began to pray and ask the Lord. I said, Lord, don't let me mess this up. I said, do not let me mess this up, Jesus. I said, because I can't mess this up this time. I said, I can't mess nothing up this time. It got to be right. And I said, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? And he told me, he said, you need to assign your money purpose, and you need to assign your time purpose. Because I wasn't getting anything done. It was like I was in a place. And I'm telling you, you can go through some things. I'm going to talk about this, and then I'm going to move on back to prayer. But you can go through some things sometimes that take you someplace you ain't never been before. I tell you, I had lost my hope or what. I don't know what was going on with me. But I was trying to hold on. I was still going to church. I was still going over to the hospital, preaching to the people. I was still doing all those things. I was still doing the broadcast. I was still doing those things. But I'm telling you, I was in a rough place, but I kept on going. I did keep on going. I was like the little engine that could. I kept on moving. But I'm going to tell you, it wasn't always a happy time. And you know, Denise can fuss. And so I said, Lord, help me stop fussing. And that's why he had me teach that series about watch what you say. And so he taught me so much during that series that I learned how to stop murmuring and complaining and start being grateful. And I told you last week how I was fussing about something, and immediately I caught myself. And I said, I said, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. I'm glorified. I started worshiping God. Whenever you get to a place where you feel like you're getting ready to start that murmuring and complaining, just start worshiping. Start worshiping God and drive the devil right back out. You don't have to allow him to rise. You don't have to allow him to come in. Learn how to drive that joker back out so that he will not mess up your blessing of what God is trying to do for you. Because when we pray, we have got to believe that God is going to answer. God answered me so quick that day, I was shocked. You know, sometimes be like, whoa, okay, wait. But no, God had answered prayer. And they told me I was supposed to report on the 14th that next Monday. I went strolling in there like I just went to stroll. I was so happy I didn't know what to do. And then I think by the first check I got was August the 30th. And my birthday is September the 4th. And somebody said, what you going to do for your birthday? I said, I'm going to pay these bills. I was so happy to be able to pay all my bills out of one paycheck. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I was excited about that thing. I was so happy. I was praising the Lord. I said, Lord, thank you. Every time I paid somebody, I told the Lord, thank you. And people said, I got too many fires to put out. I ain't got time to be going doing nothing. I got to pay these bills and get myself back on the right track because I was getting behind. But the Lord blessed me to get caught up. Now every time I get paid, I pay some off. That's what I'm doing. I said, Lord, I got to pay these bills off because I don't want no bankruptcies. I don't want nothing. I mean, I want God to bless me to pay these bills off. And I prayed. I said, Lord, I need you to tell me what to pay first, what to do first so that I can get it done. And the Lord has been blessing me. So don't tell me that God won't answer your prayer. When your prayer is targeted in the right direction, God will answer. Anybody have anything they want to say about that on the line?
Beautiful testimony. Beautiful testimony. And I thank you so much for sharing and being real and open about things. I mean, that takes a heart to open up and put yourself out there like that, you know, in humbleness. So thank you so much and keep going. I'm ready to hear more.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank God for them. They're such a blessing. They were such a blessing to me. And I'm telling you, but it's been rough, and because people think because you get a job that everything goes back to being all right. No, you got to come through it. You got to come through it. It's getting there. But the Lord has been blessing me because I'm determined. I was determined. I said, because I felt like I was messing up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And I said, oh, Lord, I said, I need you to help me. And I mean, I was sincere. I want God to help me. I don't want to ever go through that again. I don't like not having no money and being broke. Because, you know, I always got a little stash somewhere. I didn't even have no stash. I was getting frustrated. But when I don't have no stash, that makes me nervous. I don't know what nobody else think about it. But, you know, and this was the blessing thing. Because, you know, I saved my little change. I always save my little change. I got change saved up. And so that change, you don't think it's nothing in them drawers. But I'm telling you, it was enough in them drawers to get me through a whole bunch of stuff. And I thank God for that. So we can't keep spending everything we got. Stop spending all your money. Everything you got, just going to spending and spending and spending. Ask God, Lord, what is the purpose for this money? And I'm telling you, I got me a little chart, and I go through my little chart, and I say, okay, this is going to be on this paycheck, and this is going to come out of this paycheck, and this is going to come out of this paycheck, and this is going to come out of this paycheck, and this is coming out of this paycheck, and so on, so on, so on, so on. I start doing it like that, and so all of it got a purpose and a time. And so, therefore, I know what's coming out and when it's coming out. When you got that information, then you can know. Then whatever else you got, and I pay my tithes and I give my offering, and I make sure I sow into things to be a blessing to somebody else. I try to make sure all that is happening so that then when I don't worry about things because I've done what I was supposed to do, and I believe that God's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing I don't have room nor to see. I still got some things up before God that I'm waiting on the answer for, but I'm just going to believe that he's going to do it. So what I'm saying is we got to ask God for what it is we need, and then sometimes we got to wait on it. Sometimes it'll come quickly, like that day the job came quickly. But then the other things are still coming in time, and so you got to just wait on the Lord. And God is teaching me how to trust in him through my prayer. Trust in God. I got to trust in the Lord because right now I'm still in a place where, okay, Jesus, what's going to happen? Just you got to trust it. You got to trust it. You just got to trust God. So he's teaching me how to trust him even the more. When I don't, because sometimes, we want to keep in control. We want to be in control of stuff. But if we're going to really be God's woman, a woman of God, a man of God, if we're going to be a child of God, we got to learn how to trust in the Lord. We got to give it to him and let him keep it. And that's what we got to do. I'm just sorry. I know it don't always feel good because sometimes we don't know what God is doing. We look like he going to answer. He look like he may not answer. But the Lord is faithful. He's sovereign, and he's got all power in his hands. You got to trust in the power of God. That's what I'm trusting in right now. I'm trusting the power of God. I don't have nothing else to trust in. When we pray, let me go back to prayer. When we pray, we got to pray in faith. The power comes with our faith. The power of God. God moves because of faith. He ain't going to move because of that whining and crying. That's not moving him. You got to have faith. You got to believe that he is. Let me go down here. This scripture right here, says it all for me. And this is Hebrews 11:6. Where's my time? Because I've been running my mouth. 11:6, it says, but without faith, this is Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So I thought about that particular scripture. If you break down that scripture, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. That means the things we do, are they well-pleasing in his sight? The things we say, are they well-pleasing in his sight? What does that really mean? And so it says that in an acceptable way, as prayer, praise, our attendance, our word, while we're reading the word, how we're doing things, it's impossible to please him. The only way we're going to be able to please God is, first of all, we know the word of God. If we know who he is, know the word of God, and begin to walk in the word of God, then we will begin to please him. So it's impossible if we don't have no faith with anything, and we got to think about this. God gives us a measure of faith. God gives us a measure of faith, and as we begin to receive the word of God, and as God begins to do things in our life, then our faith begins to increase. What did the disciples tell him? He said, "Lord, help my unbelief." They said, "Help my unbelief." So sometimes we got to say, Lord, help my unbelief, because sometimes we don't have the belief in that certain situation. But, Lord, help our unbelief that our faith will continue to increase. And, of course, the Bible tells us faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more the word of God you put in, the more faith, the more your faith will increase. So you got to begin to study the word of God. Study the word of God. If you really want to have a powerful prayer, pray the word of God. Pray the word of God. Pray, Lord, I thank you for being my shepherd that I shall not want. That means that I'm saying that, God, you're my shepherd, and because you're my shepherd, I don't have any lack in my life. You know what I'm saying? Lord, you're the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? That means that, Lord, God is the light. He's the one I'm depending on. He's the light. He's the light that's guiding me through the dark places. He's the one that's doing it. He's that light. And so I don't have to fear because he's the one that's doing it. So we got to understand that we have to have that faith in order to please God. Otherwise, it's not going to please him. He said this is his pattern. This is what God is saying. That is what he's saying. Then it says, for he that cometh to God. Now, when he says that, he's saying those that are praying to God, that when we come to God in prayer, when we cry out to God, he said, he that cometh to God. When we begin to pray, it says that we must believe that he is. Period. It ain't nothing else there. It's just when we come to him, we must believe that he is, that he can do what it is that we are asking him to do. Otherwise, what's the point of praying? I think I told this one time, I said, I think, and this is who I heard, this was 50 Cent, this is who I heard, this is how he was in, Oprah was interviewing him or something. And I remember him saying, he said himself, he said, well, if you're going to pray, don't worry. But if you're going to worry, then don't pray. Because if you're going, because if when you pray and you worry, then you're saying God can't do it. And so you really are praying amiss. If you want God to answer, when you go down in prayer, you got to come up and believe in that. You got to go down believing and come up believing that it's going to be done. And you got to get your mindset to that point. And so with that is, it comes, course for all, it comes through experience too. Remember about the things that God has already done. Then that gives you some confidence in what you're asking him for now. So you got to remember that. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all than we can even ask or think. That's what we got to understand. And so when we come to God, believe that he is. It says he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And then it says, that, and when it says that must believe that he is, that we're saying that we believe that God exists, that he exists, period, that he is. And so then if we think about it in this light as well, because when we pray, we're going to say we believe in the person. So we got the Godhead. We got God as the Godhead, and then we got Jesus as the mediator, because Jesus is mediating for us. He's a propitiation of our sins. We got to think about it. He's up there mediating for us. He's going to God on our behalf. He's mediating. He's the mediator. And then, of course, we got the third person, which is the Holy Spirit, who is leading and guiding us even in our prayer. He's even leading and guiding us even in our prayer. So we got to remember that. So we must believe that he is, that God is an answer to our prayer. And then it says that he is a reward to them that diligently seek him. So if we're seeking after God, we got to believe that he's going to reward us for diligently seeking at him. What does Matthew 6:33 says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto it. So God was saying we don't have to worry about praying for, you know, clothes and food and things like that. Those things he know we have need of, and so he's going to provide those things. But we have to seek him first, and his kingdom, all this other stuff will come to us if we just do that. So it's a lot of things in when we talk about prayer. Does anybody else have anything they want to say? Okay. So then the next thing I want to talk about when we talk about prayer, so that's one of the main scriptures for me. When I think about prayer, I think about going to God, seeking God, and just believing that God is going to do what I've asked him to do. That, I mean, we got to get to that. If you're not there, there's some place you got to do it, but you can get there through your meditation, your prayer time, through you hearing the word of God, through experiences. You know, sometimes, you know, we don't have testimony in church like we used to back in the day, you know, not in the bigger churches because it's just, you know, so many people and whatever, or we just don't have the time, or it's just so many people. But, you know, people used to testify, and it would encourage you so. Sometimes people are, you got to hear what people are saying. I let people, sometimes one lady testified to me at church one Sunday, and it blessed me so much because she was talking about how her son was in prison, I think, and he was he had gotten sick, and he was sick unto death. But how she got there, she just touched him. She couldn't hardly get to him, but she touched him, and how the Lord delivered him, and how he rose up, and then he was home. They sent him home, and sent him home because I don't think he was in, you know, prison long for a long time. There was something going on. I don't know the whole story. But anyway, how he came home, and the Lord blessed him, and he's still going on today. But she talked about how God answered her prayer, and she was just able to touch him. So we got to think about these things when we're talking about that. And then it says, and then we talk about, you know, also we talked about the structure of prayer. But then if we think about, then we got to always, prayer needs to have thanksgiving. We got to be thankful. We got to be thankful in our prayer time, thankful to praying. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We got to pray for one another. We just can't be selfish and praying for ourselves. You know, it's so much selfishness going on today that we don't even think about, you know, other people. We're so busy. I got to get mine. And I know I'm going to slow down. This is probably the slowest I've talked since I've ever been on the prayer, on the Facebook. But anyway, we got to remember that, you know, we have to keep one another up in prayer. It's just not your job to pray for yourself and your family, but also to pray for other people as well. So keep that in mind. You got to be in prayer for other people because people need us. People need our prayers. People need us to pray for. I pray for children. I pray for people every day. I pray for the people in my neighborhood. I don't know what they're going through. I don't even know them because, you know, we don't know neighbors like we used to. It ain't the village like it used to be. But I still pray, and I know you are too. Continue to pray for others and be a blessing to other people. I was talking to somebody today, and we was laughing about this. You know, when people, when you used to have people going to surgery and go to the hospital, people would go with them so they could pray. And I told them something. I said, yeah, one time I went to the hospital, they just dropped me off at the hospital and said, girl, I'm going to be praying for you. And I had to go out in there by myself. I said, who lets anybody go to surgery by themselves? But anyway, they dropped me off, and then one of the saints called me, and I was telling him about it, and he rushed himself right on down to their hospital and sat there with me, and I was so thankful for that, but I ended up not having surgery that day. And this is why it's important that we be prayer, that we have people in place. That's why I said sometimes we think, well, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? Everybody's purpose ain't behind the pulpit. Everybody's purpose is not that. But we all have a mission to pray. He said we are to always pray and not faint. Our prayer is something that every baptized believer is supposed to do. We're all supposed to be praying. And so this is my testimony. I got another testimony, then I'm gonna get back to what I was talking about. But even in this testimony, the Lord, I was having surgery, and then someone of the saints was with me at this time. They were there praying, and they was with me. You know, they gave me that medicine, trying to, you know, get me to prepare to go to surgery. And I do remember saying this. I said, I'm going to see y'all on the other side. This is what I said. And I didn't really know what was going on, but I guess the nurse, she came back, and this was after the surgeon, she came back and told me. She said, you know, this is why you got to be thankful for people praying, because sometimes the enemy's trying to do something, and you're not even aware what the enemy's trying to do. And so she said, she came to me, she said, girl, she said, we gave you that message, you went to talk about, I'm going to see you on the other side. And I told the devil, you are a lie. She's not dying on my watch. She's not dying on my watch. And I'm telling you, I had a rough time coming out of that surgery. And even when I got ready to leave the hospital, I had my shoes on, I took my bag, got everything ready, my clothes was packed. I was ready to leave the hospital. And I remember some of the saints called me. It was Elder Johnson and Elder, I don't know why I can't think of his name. Anyway, he called, and they prayed for me. They prayed for me before I left that hospital. And then after they prayed for me, I got up and I told the nurse, I said, I'm going to go walk around one more time. And when I began to walk around, I began to have some difficulty. And I couldn't hardly breathe, and it was hurting me. I said, something's going on. And they said, oh, it's just gas. I said, no, I don't think this is gas. I don't think this is gas. I said, something's going on. And I was just fine prior to. I said, I don't think this is gas. And so then I kept saying it. So the nurse, she said, well, okay, then hold on. You can't go anywhere. So they began to run tests on me. And come to find out, they started doing tests for blood clots. I had a pulmonary embolism. I had a blood clot on my lung. And they told me, they said, if you would have left this hospital, you probably wouldn't have made it back. But I thank God for the saints that called to pray for me. And so that kind of brought that thing, I guess, to the forefront of things. And I stayed, because I ended up staying in the hospital 3 more days after that. I was getting ready to go home, and I stayed 3 more days. But I had a blood clot on my lung. And so had I left, I probably wouldn't have made it back. But thank God that I didn't go home, that I didn't leave. And so they came to pick me up. They said, what's going on? I said, well, I ain't going nowhere. I said, because they're running some tests. So they gave me, you know, they were running tests on my heart. And you know me, I got comical spirit. I told them, I said, look here, before I came here, my heart was good because I had a heart test, all them tests they do, you know, to test your heart. I did all them, and my heart was good. I said, I don't know what y'all have done to my heart. I said, and you know, that's what I was telling the nurse. And of course, she would get tickled about it because I was saying it kind of comical. But anyway, that's what it ended up being. Anyway, so we had to take care of that and get that situation under control before I could even come home. But I was so thankful to the Lord. I said, the enemy tried to take me out, but the Lord was not letting, it wasn't my time. So that means when you have those kind of situations, those kind of things, you know you got something to do. You got to be doing what God has called you to do and what God has told you to do, no matter what nobody else says. Stop letting people talk you out of what God told you to do. So that's what I'm saying. When you have a prayer life, you can pray and God will take care of you even when you don't know that you need it, because you've already been praying about things, praying for other people, praying for yourself, and God begins to bless me. Does anybody on the line have anything they want to say? So we're getting ready to come to a close. This has been a calmer time. You know, I talk real fast. You'll be flying. I don't even know if I got to everything I was going to say today. But anyway, I don't know, those things just kind of came up in my spirit, so I wanted to talk about them. But we must remember that the power of prayer is simply the power of God. Must remember that. And we pray, but it is God's power that answers. So we're praying, but it's his power that answers. Like I told you about Israel, when they had been in bondage all that time, and they began to cry out to the Lord, and the Lord heard them, and then he began to put in motion Moses as a deliverer to deliver them out of Pharaoh's hands. And so we got to believe that once we pray, that God will do it. Even if whatever it is, whatever our situation is, we got to believe that he can do the impossible and that we can pray and that the impossible will happen. As always, I would always like to extend and offer, and we're going to talk about Jesus and his prayers. And I think I got some other people going to hopefully I sent out some messages today about people, some topics for them to teach on prayer. So hopefully they'll get back with me this week and see if not. But we're going to talk about Christ and his prayers next week. Because what I want to talk about, when I talked about them 650, approximately 650 prayers in the Bible, and then 450 of them were answered, we gotta see, I want to talk about, you know, what caused them to be answered prayers and what caused the other ones not to be answered. Because that's what a lot of us want to know is, Lord, how do I get my prayers answered? And how to pray prayers that get answered versus prayers that we're praying and they're not getting answered. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit on next week. But what I want to do is make sure that if there's anybody out there under the sound of my voice who does not know the Lord, does not know the Lord and the pardon of their sins, that this is an opportunity for you to accept Christ as your Savior and turn your life over and give your life unto the Lord, and so that you can be saved. Jesus said it's his will that all shall come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants us all to come to repent, to a place of repentance, and to come to a place that we are saved, because he went to the cross for us. He died for our sins, and he did that so that we could be saved, and so that we could have a right to the tree of life, and so that we could have eternal life. And so, of course, you don't want to leave this earth and not have given your life to the Lord. And nobody knows what the next day holds, but what we want today is to know that we are in the right place with God, that we are on our way back home to the right place, that we are that when they say that we can hear God, of course, we want God to say, well done, but we want them also to say that we went home to be with the Lord. We didn't go to hell. We don't want to do that. And so if somebody is out there and does not know God, if you would and you want to give your life to the Lord today, if you would repeat this prayer with me and your heart is right, I believe that you will be saved today. And so it says, Dear God, I want to be a part of your family. Slow it down so you can repeat. You said in your word that if I acknowledge that you raised Jesus from the dead and that I accept him as my Lord and Savior, that I will be saved. So, God, I now say that I believe you raised Jesus from the dead and that he is alive and well. I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept my salvation from sin right now. I accept it in the name of Jesus. And now I am saved. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Thank you, Father God, for forgiving me, saving me, and giving me eternal life with you. Amen and amen. I believe if you prayed that prayer that you are saved today and that you need to find you a good Bible-believing teaching church that will continue to help you on your journey, your Christian walk, and that they will help you to continue to grow. You will continue to get the word of God so that your faith can increase. And so that your prayer, you can pray and the Lord will hear and answer you, that your faith will increase, that you can pray in faith, you can believe that he is and know that he is the one, that and you will have that faith that will please God. And so not only that you will begin this walk, being saved is awesome. I'm so thankful that God saved me as a child, and I'm so thankful that, not that I've dotted every I and crossed every T over the years of my life, but my heart has been toward God. And that's what we want. I pray all the time, Lord, let my heart be right with you. I want my heart to be right with God. And so I pray that all the time. And that's something we should always pray, that our heart will be right. Because if we get that heart matter right, then the rest will fall into place as well. And so I'm so thankful for each and every one of you that was listening today. Hopefully I said something that was helpful and that was a blessing. Remember that God won't do it if you don't pray. You got to pray. You got to ask God for what you want. You just can't think it in your mind. Audibly say it out of your mouth what you need God to do. And, you know, there are positions of prayer, and so we can talk about that next week. You know, people stand and pray, people kneel and pray, people lay prostrate on the floor, whatever the different positions are. You choose your own thing. People walk. Sometimes I'm up walking and praying, whatever it is. We can do it. Oh, my God. So we're going to pray for Denise Montgomery's niece. She just passed out. We're going to be praying for that. And so, Sister Dodson.
Amen.
I can hear you. I was going to see if you would pray us out, but would you include the niece of Denise Montgomery? She just got a word that her niece passed out. So would you include that in our final prayer?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the word that we received on tonight. Dear God, we understand and we know that there is power in prayer, and I thank you for the word. I thank you for the Holy Ghost, because you said, Lord, you would bring the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, would bring all things to our remembrance. And, dear God, I thank you that tonight you've brought some things back to our remembrance, and I bless your name for it. Dear God, I pray for Sister Montgomery's niece, whatever's going on with her. I pray that you touch her in the name of Jesus. Lord, we send your word to heal in the name of Jesus, and I pray you bring comfort and peace to that family, and I pray you bring stability to her body in the name of Jesus, I pray. And, dear God, as we leave this place, dear God, let us always keep you in the forefront of our mind and in our hearts. Oh, God, I thank you for the word. I thank you, dear God, that you've given us a way to receive from you. I thank you, God, that you reminded us without faith it's impossible to please you. Now, dear God, I pray you help us to walk through the week and to be mindful and to have faith and to believe you and to pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray for this ministry. I thank you, Lord. I pray that it will continue to touch the people, and I pray that even more will come in and be blessed and hear the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, and I bless your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We thank God for Sister Dodson praying for us, and we thank God for each and every one of you, and we ask you, Lord, to just continue to be prayerful through this week. Make sure that you be blessed. And we thank God for each and every one of you. And of course, we thank God for all of you for that logged in, those that called in, those that even will listen to the broadcast later. We ask that God will continue to bless you and to richly keep you. And we ask, and we'll be back here next week on the Facebook Live teaching about prayer. So God bless each and every one of you. May you be blessed through this week. God bless you. Enjoy your week. Amen.
Amen. God bless.
What does your morning sound like?
Goodbye, baby.
She's finally asleep.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
Can I get a sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles?
Mmm. Here's to making your morning routine a little better with a delicious breakfast from McDonald's.
Right now at McDonald's, get a sausage biscuit and hash browns or sausage McMuffin and hash browns, each pairing for just $1.50. Price and participation may vary. For a limited time, cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
You hear that? It's four quarters left in a pair of cargo shorts now clinking around in the dryer. But it's also the sound of a whole dollar of deliciousness. Because a McDonald's $1, $2, $3 menu, that's the price of a crispy, tender McChicken sandwich or any size refreshing sweet tea or soft drink. Nice, right? So grab that change.
Wow, those are hot.
Find more $1 favorites on the $1, $2, $3 menu at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Tax extra.